Okay, we're talking now. So that is it. All I want to, I'll say nothing. Each time the introduction, you say, well, where are we, what we're doing, who you are, whatever. You've never met each other. Go for it. Off you go.
Okay, so we've had a lovely meeting this morning, a great breakfast at the Angler's Rest in Bamford at the Hope Valley Business Zoo. So I'm Katie Bain from Games Explorers, here with
George Taylor from Wisp UK. We've just started a project building faster broadband in the Hope Valley.
And I'm helping people connect and communicate through the use of mobile board game events.
So, now, that's... what is that? How does that all fit in?
How does this all fit in? So, for example, I have Steve Knapp, who's one of the, what would you call it, founders of the Hope Valley Business Zoo. He approached me recently for some help with turning his sales process into a game as a different way of engaging people in his workshops. So that's a big project that I'm working on at the moment.
So when you say it's a game, gaming to me, you tell me
in this instance, we've taken his sales process and we'll have like a kind of layout of a board and various actions that people can do on the board to mimic what happens in the sales process in a smaller period of time, so that people can get an overview of how it all works.
So it's like substituting a traditional training environment.
Yeah. Okay. In a way.
So
it's a different way of engaging people. So right. People should take away more from it because they're actually doing it than just being talked at.
Okay. Right, I'm out of the conversation now. It's between you two.
So it's just an interesting way of looking at things. So do you think that's something that's been driven by trying to focus younger people to do things more?
Not necessarily. I think it's just different ways of engaging people. And as well, it's very much offline in connecting with people. And a lot of younger people nowadays are so far, and we're all like geared into technology so much nowadays, aren't we? Like you were saying earlier on in the meeting that we had, you know, people got an Airbnb in somewhere rural.
Yeah.
Or, you know, surely they're there for the outside.
Yeah.
And I know a few years ago, I took my then 15-year-old daughter with a friend with her 15-year-old son. The first thing they want to know is, like, is there Wi-Fi where we're staying? You know, me and my friends are happy for there to be no Wi-Fi and just disengage from a week. But, like, for that age group, it's a really important thing. You know, connected with their friends. So part of the sort of board gaming thing is, like, you know, let's disengage from that. Let's, like, really, connect with people on a one-to-one level.
Yeah. And it's more of a kind of using your hands and, yeah, something that's more...
Yeah, it's tactile. It's tactile. It's social. You've got to actually physically interact with people.
I think that's a really interesting way to do things. We're looking at doing some work with the Ruskin Mill Trust, and they have a couple of sites in Sheffield where they have a organic farm, High Riggs, and they work with children and young adults with learning difficulties. Their methodology is all about, you know, senses, so sight, smell, touch, and learning in that manner, not by being told something, you know, and it's part of their approach, and, you know, I think it really works well. So I think what you're talking about, you know, that would appeal for the same kind of mindset.
It keys into different things, and when people do something, they take more away than just being told. So if you've sat there and you've done a mimic of how a process works, and you get a different sight of it to just kind of like somebody kind of like going, yes, I've got this vision, you can actually see it, you can feel it, you can touch it. So you take more away from it.
Cool. What's your favourite board game?
Oh, now you're asking. one of my favourite board games is a game called Spirit Island. So in Spirit Island, each player takes on the role of a native spirit, you know, thinking kind of like, you know, kind of like water elementals, air elementals, you know, something that's always kind of like been around and lives quite happily with the native people. And then invaders come and start to destroy and blight the land. So you, as the spirits, have to work together to try and prevent the invaders from, you know, invading and destroying your lands. But everybody's got like a slightly, though you're working together, everybody's got like a different powers, different abilities that they can use.
Yeah.
So you have to really communicate really well with that one to
absolutely.
Make it work. But that's one of my favourite ones.
Sounds kind of niche. They don't sell that in W.H. Smith's.
No. there's, you know, there's. like thousands of board games get released every year, so you know, I don't know all of them. I wouldn't profess to.
So what's your process when you're trying to engage with somebody who's got a business to, I suppose, educate them or convince them to understand how gamification works to their advantage? Because I bet a lot of people would find
examples really just it's the so I've also got a game coming out called Reflections with a lady called Lorraine Dixon, who has a Being Me diary, which is all about every day there's a different question and you answer it. So you'd answer it on whatever the 28th of June today. Next year on the 28th of June you get the same question, and you do this like the same question each day for 5 years every day. So you can see how things change over years. So she approached me and said, oh, could we turn this into a game? So we have a meeting, I come up with a couple of concepts, and then it's kind of, is this going to work or not? So it depends on what the business is and what they want out of it, what they want their audience to get out of it. So really it's just what do you want, and then I see if I can help. It's like anything really. If you want a graphic designer, you say, can you do this for me? They come back and go, yeah, maybe, no, or...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe we could gamify any of our sign-ups. You know when you're on a form and you put all your name in? And how many times do you have to fill in details on online forms doing the same thing? You know, if someone could actually make that a more pleasurable experience where you don't want to jump off a cliff.
That'd
be fantastic. We should think about that.
Yeah, I mean, things like to-do lists get gamified. There's a couple of apps out there that do that, and somebody did sort of like put on a forum the other day, oh, can you do me a gamified list?
Yeah, we have actually. Yeah. So we have a cloud platform for all our applications, which does everything, CRM and accounts and sales orders. But that has this thing called GameScope, and you click it, and it gamifies some of those processes. I've never tried it. It's definitely a thing.
When there's little things that you can do, can't you? Like how many actions have you set yourself? What do you want to do? And then how many of these have I achieved? Right, I get points, and then you can gamify it with points and turning those into other things and little rewards and stuff.
Yeah, so it sounds like it incentivizes competitive people.
Maybe. Yeah, well, there's a lot of collaborative games out there, kind of like cooperative games that you do as a team. Yeah. Not like Monopoly, no.
Have you had anyone create a Monopoly-type game in their organisation?
No. Monopoly is Monopoly, and, it works for what it is, and, it brings people together. They may have a good time, they may end up arguing and just flipping the table, but... How dare you buy Park Lane? That was going to complete my set,
I was, we've had a very drunken New Year once. We played Scruples. Come across this game?
The picture one?
No, that's Pictograph or Pictogram.
Pictionary.
Pictionary. No, the Scruples was asking you about, you said something that you would challenge people.
Yeah.
As to what they would do or wouldn't do. The classic one was, would you park in a disabled park? Yeah. And then collectively, you'll go, of course you would. You're always like that, And then you can deny it. And it was these massive arguments. It got really bad. Literally, people broke up and it got, quite extreme. So the idea of game, it always brings a smile to my face. So that's the first thing. So, I mean, it's a positive feel to start off with.
But, whatever happens, you've made a memory, haven't you? You've engaged with something in a way that's had a lasting kind of, effect on your memory.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can remember things. So when we do our e-learning or your content, how do people learn? I think it really has the whole, you were talking about being on the cloud or content accessible. Yeah, that's what we're relying on now. And, I've always been a technologist idea, but the accessibility to knowledge, you just ask Siri or Google or whatever it is and say. So I'm much older. I'm thinking about generational things.
Right.
How does it move? So games, if you're doing a game, I think you've come from a conventional vocation.
I did a degree in chemistry, and then I've been working in health and safety for the past, God knows how long, over a decade.
would be like a standard career path.
Yes.
So is this you moving into something different because of you wanted to. Well, how does that work?
This happened? Was a change of circumstances last year that I, you know.
Oh, it's quite recent then.
Yeah, last year. So yeah, this business has only been going for less than a year, so it's still in its infancy.
it's still exciting.
It's still exciting, yes. but I've had this, like, I've loved these games. I've had the same gaming group. We've been going for nearly 20 years in Sheffield.
It's a cafe, isn't it?
There is a cafe now, the Treehouse.
You have to book.
Busy times, yes.
Is that the one near the birdcage or the birdhouse or the...
It's not far from there. It's called the Treehouse. It's off London Road.
Ah.
Just near where the big Aldi is on Queen's Road.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah. It does get very busy. I'm also running my own Games and Pizza Nights on the third Tuesday of the month at the showroom.
Very cool.
So, yeah, you come down and have games and pizza. We have Gin and Games up at the Totley Cross Sides coming up on Friday the 5th of July.
What can go wrong?
Pizza's in the showroom. Gin in Totley. Couldn't be more...
And also, like, we're starting up a gaming networking group so that people can find out a bit more about how games can apply to business. That's also going to be held at the showroom on the second Wednesday of the month, so everything's on Eventbrite.
So can I start something at the showroom? Because I was in the workstation when the showroom was built.
Okay.
And we were in there, first tenants. And there was nothing there. We had to build our own offices. They gave us a small grant. They gave 50% of the grant towards it. But what they sold it as was an internet ready. This is 1990s. You know, and they just thought that meant putting a cable in. And then they didn't even know what to do with it. It literally had a cable and it didn't go anywhere. So the concept of, you know, these ideas, it's taken 30 years kind of.
Well, speaking of internet ready, sounds right up your street.
yeah, absolutely. I mean... That evolution, I mean, I totally agree. It's quite incredible, isn't it, how it's changed. I remember, I think I was about 15 when I first experienced the internet. You had to go to a cafe. You couldn't get to a home. You know, dialed up with your modem and that thing. And then it was very, very slow. But just compared to how it is now, it's utterly transformational. And I think it is great. It's enabled... quite a lot of globalisation. It brings people closer together if you've got families abroad, and it enables you to be efficient. But I think at the same time, it does make people more time precious. You know, I think whilst I love the internet, I think it's responsible for I think in some ways breakdowns of society. Yeah, it's so I'm a big advocate for it. Yeah. But I think it's almost like you need some time to turn off from it as well.
Yeah, well, you know what you can do when you come and turn off, right?
Yeah, you know, play some board games.
This is part of it, yeah.
I mean, I think of the internet as if you think of it in sort of like a human timeline, like it's a teenager really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're sort of gone off the rails or something decidedly. But they need some sort of direction or something that, you know, something to hang on it. There's so many things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember being in my late teens, and I had a friend, and he did work in IT, and so he had a phone where he could get texts and emails on it, and the rest of us were all still using house phones.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, oh my god, we were all like taking the mickey out of him for just being like always
some
contactable,
sort of geek.
And now like, you know, it's the norm now, isn't it?
Well, the thing for me, I just find so utterly amazing is just that access to information. You know, when I was, like, I don't know, 10 or something, and I was interested in geology, but I didn't have anyone to draw upon for that expertise. You know, so if I wanted to find out about something, you'd have to go to the library, and you had the choice of what books were there, and that's it. Now, if you'd been that same kid, you get on the internet and you've just got everything.
You don't have to move, do you? It's not even like you had to go up to the computer room. You just now just it's there in your hand.
Exactly, you know, and I think it completely could change who a person is because, you know, I only had access to that, but I'm quite obsessive about things. So I think, you know, you could have the ability to just digest incredible amounts of information and always become expert in these fields if you put enough time in, just because of that accelerated access to incredible depths of information, which you then obviously have to disseminate to find the validity of what it is. But it kind of probably creates a different structure in how people's minds work now, because you don't have to necessarily learn much stuff to recall, because you can just go click, 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 and there it is on Google. You can't do if you haven't got connectivity, I suppose. That's why people require it everywhere.
Yeah, it's certainly very different.
Is it just the way I find myself watching television with half an eye as to the background to it? Where is that shot taken?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, watching a programme or something, I don't know, period drama.
Yeah.
And I think, that looks familiar. You know, no, forget about the drama or whatever it is. I want to know where it is, and I can literally halfway through the programme, I'll just ask.
Yeah.
You know, where was it filmed?
It's like layers on an onion skin, isn't it?
Yes.
And further in.
But I'm with you in the sense is how much do you retain? As I feel now that almost I'm full up.
Yes.
And I'm losing stuff as I put
information
stuff in.
Information overload, isn't it? There's only so much you can have before things start to spill out over the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't. So it's a bit. There is a finite. Mm. Have we got this finite ability to learn, or is it continuous? Like I've always had.
And I guess like you were saying about when you used to go, because I used to go to the library, you used to have to get your reference books out for like whatever bit of chemistry or whatever you were doing. Yeah. And, you know, so you'd sit in the library and you'd do that. But that would be because you'd invested the time to go to the library, reserve the book so it was there for you and somebody else didn't have it. You know, you really made the most of that time, whereas now everything's just instant and on hand. You know, it's just it's the value of their time and whatever not seen the same.
Yeah.
Do you think it's undervalued as a result?
I think it's just kind of I don't really need to remember it or learn it because I can just access it any time, so it is valued differently, I think.
Yeah,
pretty different to how it's stored, because valued by your brain, I should imagine. Because the thing is, I can't remember who it was now, possibly Obama or someone like that, who did things like put the same kind of suit in the wardrobe because he didn't want to have to make a decision, because there's only a limited amount of decisions you can make in a day. Now, I fully embrace that. So I try now to minimise the amount of decisions that I have to make that aren't just yes or no answers, because I definitely have a limited capacity. There's a certain point where my decision quality will fail.
Yeah.
So I just try and simplify those things in a day because I'm fully aware of it. So if that's how it is with decision making, then it must be the same with recall. If there's all this noise available, what am I going
to
keep?
Yeah, it's how to like focus on which bits.
Which bit's true, right? Because the thing is, what is amazing now, I fell out of favour with Facebook. I didn't like it because it used to annoy me. There was so much noise on there. But then I found all these groups.
Yes.
So like, my girlfriend, she liked Lepidoptera. She likes moths. She's really interested.
Yeah.
She's like on this moth forum. So so she puts this UV moth trap out in the garden.
Right.
And then it gets all these moths come to it. And the next day in the morning, she'll have like 50 moths in it. These amazing things, like big elephant hawk moths, which are attracted to rose bay willow herb and things like that. But there's like thousands and thousands of moths. And so they're quite difficult to identify. You know? So this moth forum, people post their pictures and be like, what moth's this? Someone will be like, oh, do you live near a birch wood? That'll be a buff-tipped blah, blah, blah. And you know, and that those kind of communities are quite strong, and that's a great way to suddenly get all this information. And like I said, what would you have done 25 years ago with that? You're never going to know what that moth is. So there are definitely massive positive benefits of how it shares and spreads that information that didn't exist before. But like you say, it's weighing the negatives against the benefits, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I'm with you on the Facebook thing. I've never got into it, despite the fact that, you know, it just irritates me.
Yeah. Armchair experts.
Yeah.
It's the oversharing on Facebook that people do that really... I mean, mine's just kind of like, there's my cats and there's board games, and that's pretty much what I do on Facebook, is cats and board games.
What else is there to do on Facebook?
Absolutely, right? But, you know, the people that need to put, like, every meal and every detail of their personal life and every fallout with, you know...
Yeah.
It's that passive-aggressive kind of, like... stuff is so rubbish, and you know, just put in, and they put out things for attention designed in. That's the sort of thing that I really have no time for, no patience with.
But it is interesting how there are groups of people who will engage with it.
Yes.
WhatsApp's a relatively new thing, and then you set up a WhatsApp group, and then I've left. I love the way it just says,
it's like,
you left.
Yeah.
And all these people say, why have you left? Or something like this. These things have spawned. Also, you know, completely irrelevant. You know, I've got specialist interests. You know, things like that. For sailing, for example. Mm. But it's such a broad thing, and people put. And again, it gets very rapidly gets out of control. I seem to think, you know, or it gets getting silly.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, and you lose the plot and, you know, the will to live on it, and so I'd stop it. So but it happens really quickly now.
Mm.
Rather than, you know, you join a club and it costs you, you know, sailing club or something. Costs you 100 quid a year, you know, you feel like you have to sort of kind of, and you get a chance to sort of kind of mature and you get to know people, and it takes time.
Mm.
And nowadays, I can, you know, in literally 5 minutes, I work out are they idiots or people are the same as me. I think we're with you on the same. So, how do we calm down? Because It's interesting, the a lot of people at these networking events that are all about health and well-being, you know, these tutors and telling you, and there seem to be rather a lot of these people who are talking about you as a business person rather than running a business, if you see what I mean.
Mm.
I would, not saying it's out there, but people are making businesses out of other people's businesses, and how,
yes,
they, I don't think that's very productive, is it?
I don't know. I mean, it depends what it is, isn't it? I mean, for example, if you could have a business that focused on helping people disengage, I think that would be a thing, because, you know, it's difficult to do. I think people are creatures of habit, and whatever environment they're in, they will tend to thrive in that environment. So if you go to London, you probably become quite materialistic, because you have to be, because it's expensive to be there, unless you're into the arts, I suppose. You've got lots of museums you can go to, but there tends to be a lot of retail, advertising and wealth, and it's quite sticky, I think. You know, you can become easy to be accustomed to that. Now, I certainly, when I spend time there, I'm like, oh, this is really cool, whereas if I'm here in the Peak District, I hate all that stuff. So, you know, where I live, I've got a nice woodland like behind the house, and once I saw this thing on YouTube about carving spoons. I ordered this spoon carving knife,
yeah,
and that I got from some random guy in Edel who makes
oh,
spoon,
yes,
carving knives. Robin Wood,
yeah.
Really, really good stuff, makes good axes. So I'm terrible at any kind of arts and crafts and craft stuff. Anyway, I was gonna like cut this log off a birch tree and start carving the spoon, and I just thought it was absolutely fantastic, you know, fully disengaging, sitting in a woodland with like the birds and all the insects and stuff like that. Carving the spoon, it's nothing to worry about, like the internet or stuff like that. It was such a simple task. It was really nice to do, you know, and it was, with no complication. And the alternative could have been sitting on the internet, you know, typing away.
Watching videos of other people carving spoons.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I did learn it. So I just think people forget that there is real stuff that you can do.
Right.
And so helping people engage like that, or disengage and re-engage with nature.
Aren't we just had to rediscover what we can do, as opposed to, I mean, I naturally don't listen to tutors. Don't know why. You know, it's never been, you know. So, but I do enjoy bringing something to other people, and they learn from it rather than tutoring. If you don't know, I don't think I can make a business. I think I do quite a lot of running and stuff. But people are actually. People pay somebody to go out on a run.
Mm. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Which, you know, and then I look at these routes they do, and these are the routes I do every day. You know, I think, somebody's making a business out of that. It's not really a lifestyle business. You know, they're not going to be millionaires or anything on the back.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that people are finding themselves maybe looking for something, and disengaging might be the right word, or make it more positive. You know, this going back to really what makes them tick type thing.
Yeah.
And just feel good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, sat in front of a screen is not going to do that. So, you know,
no.
You've got the time and place for anything, I guess.
Yeah, because we certainly didn't evolve to sit in front of a screen, did we? So it's not natural.
No. No, it's interesting. But gaming is another interesting one, because, you know, I was thinking about the games that my experiences are, you know, around parties or something like that, but it doesn't, so it's not a thing I would naturally gravitate towards.
Yeah, I think there's so many out there now with so many different themes and so many different ways of doing things,
right.
And it's, you know, the kind of like games I think of like from my childhood, they're just a world away from, you know, the things that I play now.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you bring anything from that into the modern version of games, like your old, you know, your old style game? I mean, is gaming playing with dolls' houses? I don't know.
Not really.
No, I don't know. Do you
make
a story up? I don't.
Well, you can. There's certainly like a lot of games use a story element in them,
yeah.
And that's a really good way of engaging people, particularly if they're doing their own contribution to the story. Then they feel like some kind of,
yeah,
you know, they've really kind of like got into it. So a lot of things have like a kind of like a scene setting and a character building. So even if you're just kind of, you know, moving little bits of wood and plastic around a thing, like you still feel like you're in the theme of doing, you know, whatever the theme
is.
So
it's back
is
to you using your imagination rather than it being maybe amazing stuff that you see people produce. I think creatively, I'm much more creative if I get some ideas, but then I actually go and, you know, do it. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a creator. I can see ideas and then try and do make it happen, and I feel quite exciting about that. Structured, interesting. The idea of structured games is, you know, it's treating like a business is.
Yeah, and I think like it's sometimes it's kind of like getting people to open their minds to see that, you know, because a lot of people think games, things for the children to do. Well, actually, like there's so much more that you can get from games that's applicable to everybody. It's not just children.
Right.
It's interesting, if that could be a kind of portal to opening up more creative thought processes to then work with. Because certainly for me, I have to have a certain environment to be creative in. If I'm somewhere and there's like a messy desk, for example, you know, and distractions, my brain will be locked down. It will not compute at a creative level. It is stuck down here in the, I don't know, the doldrums level of doing anything. I'd like this is my OCD, but you know, like this idea of a kind of totally clear desk with nothing on it and some tranquilness and then some sort of discussion to promote that creative nature. But if you're, you know, if you're gaming, then I suspect your brain is being engaged in different ways and opening up synapses in different ways, you know.
It's building
different neural pathways.
I guess, and you're analysing things, or like every time somebody makes a move and you're kind of like thinking, oh, is that going to impact on what I'm doing? You know, kind of like there's a lot of modern games, like your decisions really affect what's going on. Rather than if you think of something like Monopoly, you roll the dice and you move, you don't get any choice in where you move to way you move or anything. It's just so, but like in a lot of modern games, everything you do has a consequence, like has some like concept. So then again, there are some really fun ones. So there's one called Happy Salmon, where you're just trying to get rid of your cards as fast as you can, and you're just doing fist bumps and high fives and switching. And it's just like a really active, fun game that just gets everyone going, ah! But it's a really good kind of like, just get everybody going and just open the minds a bit,
so
like having some
fun.
Then,
Got it. Amazon, order Happy Salmon.
There you go. See, that's, you do that. You could do that.
Yeah, and there's, you know, dexterity games where you're building things up. You know, kind of put a blindfold on and like recreate the sushi and
cool.
Yeah, there's all sorts.
Like Tales and Donkeys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. I'm always conscious of the idea. It's great for these conversations to go on and on.
Yeah.
So we've 25 minutes. This is, so every conversation I've done on here, it has me at the end of it saying, "Do you realise how long you've been on?" And we've all got to go and do some business, do some proper work. So great. Thanks anyway. That's
Thank
good.
You.
So I'm going to shut it off now and.